member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing
cake. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Good evening and welcome to Tando Radio Show. I almost said BTR News. Man, this is Scotty, your BTR station manager. Good evening to you all. I am sitting in for Dave right now. If I remember correctly, he said that he might be not present today for Tando Radio Show, but it's Wise Wednesday, so we know Brother Davis is always there to host Wise Wednesdays for us on this April the 25th, 2018. So before I get into what's in the news, of course, please support Black Talk Media Project. We are one of the only, I would say, independent nonprofit media organizations that focuses on media that's made specifically in targeting black people, melanated people, whatever they want to call themselves, but let's just say non-white people. So if you like the work that we do, we give classes every Saturday. We have resumed those classes on teaching people how to use the platform, the podcast, how to use the technology to do live radio streaming, and to also manage digital radio stations, which, of course, people can procure through the Black Talk Media Project with very, 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 very affordable prices. As I told some people who come to me, and they said they've done their research, and we have some of the lowest pricing around. And so that's because I'm not looking to gouge anyone. We're not looking to gouge people. I see in this field a lot of people are being overcharged for the resources. And so, you know, yeah, it costs money to do certain things, but you know, you should have the integrity of not marking up the prices, you know, just so that you can put more loot in your pocket. You want to have a price that's competitive, but at the same time, you know, you have to keep it low for the people as possible, I should say. Also, if you're interested in precious metals, you can go to prosperitymint.com. Please contact Dave before making a purchase. I believe his email address is Wolfpack. What is it? Wolfpack one. Well, I'm not going to say it because I don't recall it right now. I'm sorry. I'm getting brain freeze on his exact email address. But y'all know how to contact Dave. And, just contact him before you make any purchases. As I stated, today is Wise Wednesday. Brother David shared what he was going to talk about yesterday about people being in their emotions and how to control your emotions and maintain a cool head in situations that might evoke emotions. So definitely looking forward to hearing from Brother Davis on that. But first, we're going to go through what's in the news. We'll go through some of the headlines that have been shared on btrcommunity.com, which is a social media platform that was set up for the listeners and the radio hosts who operate on the platform. Black Talk Radio Network is a secure environment. I had someone email me the other day asking about BTR Community and saying that they were waiting until I incorporate Twitter with our platform. And as I told that person, yeah, we have the ability to create apps that allow people to log in with their Facebook accounts, log in with their Twitter accounts, and some other social media accounts. But then that will provide a backdoor for those platforms to get inside of our platform and collect data, even though the only thing they would get is email addresses that the members provide and perhaps the members' names. We don't require people to use their real names. They can use pseudonyms, what have you. We don't require, like Facebook requires some people to upload photos of themselves and what have you. We don't use facial recognition or any of that type of stuff. So btrcommunity.com is $24 a year. What you're paying for is $2 a month, and you're paying for your privacy and your security, but I will never integrate it with any outside platforms because that would defeat the purpose of setting it up in the first place. All right, let's get into some of the news that Dave has posted for Tando Radio Show for April 25th, 2018. One of the first articles he shared was Cognitive Benefits of Meditation Last for at Least 7 Years. A study reveals there's a growing body of scientific evidence that confirms the many benefits of meditation. These include improved cognitive function, stronger immune system, and lower stress and anxiety. You read that at WakingTimes.com. The next article, it says, it comes to you from GoodNewsNetwork.org. A Howard grad helps unknowing students secure $35 million in funding, reducing their college debt. Now, on a side note to that, I saw an article today, earlier this morning, where Donald Trump his administration is talking about eliminating some of these programs to help people get loans for college. I don't think people realize the damage that was done to Pell grants and how it kind of made people ineligible to get those Pell grants, you know, putting in these new rules and whatnot. And so a lot that affects poor people a lot. You know, you might have some students, they may be straight A students and or whatnot. Hopefully they'll get an academic scholarship. Maybe if they got the athletic skill, they can go to college using their athletic skill. But in many cases, people take out loans to go to school, and it's usually based on a parent's credit history. And a lot of people have a lot of debt, and they may not even qualify for the loans as they are now. But, you know, it's just more and more debt. So the Good News Network reports says that, it doesn't give me an excerpt. It doesn't give me an excerpt. But let me also say this. I heard somebody today, and this isn't the first time I heard this. Y'all know that Senator Sanders ran for president last year. And one of the policy initiatives that he offered was free college tuition at university. You still had to pay for your room and board. You still had to pay for your food. Still had to pay for your books, but you wouldn't have to pay tuition at state colleges and universities. Those state colleges and universities are already getting taxpayer money to begin with. And so that would be waived for those who want to go to state colleges and universities. I ain't talking about Harvard. I ain't talking about Duke. I ain't talking about North Carolina. I'm not talking about UCLA. Those are private universities. No, I'm talking about public universities like a North Carolina State, like a Michigan State, and some of these other state colleges that get money from taxpayers. So I heard people push back against that last year saying, oh, black people just want something for free. And I was just so disgusted. And I was reminded of that today when somebody said that young people have the Bernie Sanders mentality and they just want stuff for free. Look, I can't speak for other people, but if you're a black person, and especially if you're a black person and a descendant of enslaved Africans, you should be given free tuition at these state colleges and universities, because many of these colleges and universities and these states, not just the federal government, but them too, have profited off of the profited off of the labor, getting free labor, getting captive labor that they weren't paying for, okay? And that is how this country built itself up. You have some of these private universities that actually enslaved people and had them working on the grounds and helping to build buildings that's a part of the campus and whatnot. I don't think a black person should ever let that come out their mouth that black people just want something for free, because we for hundreds of years, this land mass, and then for a couple of hundred years, this continent has profited off of our labor, our uncompensated labor, okay? And like the UN say, they owe reparations anyway for not only just slavery, but for hundreds of years of racial terrorism that's still ongoing, as well as slavery is still ongoing, okay? So reparations can come in many forms. It could come in the form of land grants, just like all them white people got, them peasants from Europe. Dr. Martin Luther King talked about this, how they came over here giving all this free land that was stolen from the Aborigine tribes of America, then also giving low interest loans and to buy farm equipment, and then these colleges and what have you, agricultural colleges set up for them to get a free education on how to farm the land. No person that has been part of a traditionally oppressed group in this country should ever let that come out their mouth that we just want stuff for free, because we didn't pay for it. You know, our ancestors have paid for it, and we have paid for it. And, you know, like I told my daughters, you know, you can go to community college, all right? Don't join the military. Don't do like your dad. Don't go in the military. I didn't know then what I know now. But no, they raping females up in the military. Okay, if you want to go to college, then you can go to college, start at community college, then transfer to whatever university. That'll save us a lot of money. But I just don't think any person that is melanated should let black people just want something for free come out their mouth. All right. So, next article. China warns of more action after military drills near Taiwan. This is coming to you from scmp.com. A series of Chinese military drills near Taiwan were designed to send a clear message to the self-ruled island, and Beijing will take further steps if Taiwan independence forces persist in doing whatever it is they're doing. World Bank. Let me see, where is that article from? Yeah, I said scmp.com. From The Guardian. The World Bank recommends fewer regulations protecting workers, okay? The World Bank is proposing lower minimum wages and greater hiring and firing powers for employers as part of a wide-ranging deregulation of labor markets deemed necessary to prepare countries for the changing nature of work. Hey, seems to me they undermining democracy in America. The World Bank, It's not part of the United States government. So why do they get to dictate policies to all these other different countries and nations who are, I guess, taking out loans or in debt to the World Bank? Well, I guess I just answered my own question, didn't I? And then again, you know, I don't mean to keep harping on Bernie Sanders. He is by means no perfect individual, but some of his domestic policies, I feel like, would benefit the people who live on this landmass of North America, under the auspices of the United States of America Incorporated. But he is introducing a jobs bill, which would guarantee every able-bodied adult a job, with a minimum wage of $15 an hour. Now, I do plan to write an article or do a short video about it, but I came across this black conservative who was pushing fascism on the Hill website and how he was engaging in McCarthyism. In fact, he even admitted that that's what he was engaging in and made no apologies for it. If you don't know what McCarthyism is, go look it up. All right, but talking about communism and this is communism and all this and that. And like the comment I said, listen, I ain't on here to talk about or to promote communism because I ain't never lived in a communist country. And so therefore, I don't have any direct experience to make an informed comment on that. But I do know about capitalism, and I do know that capital, if you break down the word capital in Latin, it talks about counting heads. Well, what heads they talking about counting? Talking about counting the victims of slavery, as Thomas Jefferson once said. And if capitalism was so great, then why did it have to be bailed out in 2008 and almost bringing down the global economy? Why did all these banks have to be bailed out by the U.S. taxpayer and not even have to pay the money back? Okay? So, you know, these people, again, what do they want people to do? And then you have these conservatives out there who talk about everybody should work. You got Donald Trump talking about kicking people off of Medicaid and food stamps and saying unless they got a job. Well, then how in the hell are you then going to say, oh, we shouldn't guarantee people a job? Don't you want able-bodied people working? Wouldn't that add to the pool of the taxpayer base? Don't make their arguments don't make sense. They're a bunch of hypocrites, in my opinion. You say one thing, and then when somebody proposes something that's gonna put people to work, then you got something else to say. All right. So anyway, coming to you from SputnikNews.com, top U.S. general tells Israel Trump is not pulling troops out from Syria, Middle East. Let me see. President Donald Trump told a cheering crowd in Ohio that U.S. troops will be pulled out from Syria very soon, to let others take care of it. According to the Israeli Sheba 7 News website, citing a diplomatic source, the head of the U.S. Military General Command. That's the excerpt right there. So apparently, you know, Donald Trump is told all his supporters a bunch of lies when he was running for president, saying that, hey, the America doesn't need to be the world's policeman. We need to pull our troops out of Syria. You know, we ain't doing nothing over there but helping the jihadists and what have you. But then once he gets in office, he changes his tune. And he especially has changed his tune since that Zionist criminal, John Bolton, became his national security advisor. So now he's telling Israel something else. All right. So he's lying to the U.S. public and telling these people behind closed doors something else. All right. Next article. North Korea's nuclear test site has collapsed. Scientists confirm North Korea's mountain nuclear test site has collapsed, putting China and other nearby nations at unprecedented risk of radioactive exposure. Two separate groups of Chinese scientists studying it have said. You can read the rest of that on scmp.com. Let me see how many more articles we got, man, because I'm looking at New Abolitionist thread where Max is posting about 40, 50 articles, and there's no way that we can get through all them articles and all that in a little bit of time that we have. The time goes by fast as we're almost up on a half hour mark already. All right, so let me just go through a couple of more. We'll go up for another about seven more minutes. Don't wait too long to lead a party. Daily Reckoning, this is an article from dailyreckoning.com, says liquidity is the ultimate paradox in finance. It's always there when you don't need it and never there when you need it most. The reason is crowd behavior, or what mathematicians call hyper... man, I just had that word on the tip of my tongue. Hypersynchronicity, something. I'm sorry, a fancy word, as they are saying, a fancy word for everyone doing the same thing at the same time. All right, so next article. Washington fears North and South Korea talks will show the problem is the United States. Well, aren't they? They're always the problem. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. I was having a conversation with my mother the other day as we were talking about the threats. You know, we were talking about the fake chemical weapons attack that was staged in Syria, which turned out to be, you know, a non-chemical attack, didn't have nothing to do with any kind of chemicals or whatnot. Then we was talking about, she told me, she said, if I was Kim Jong-un, I would not get rid of my nuclear weapons until Donald Trump gets rid of his first, okay? And so, you know, we started conversating, and I was saying, you know, people talk a lot about North Korea. People talk a lot about China. People talk about point the fingers at Russia as being the bad guys on the planet. But can you name any country that any of those countries have invaded or have bombed in the last 15 to 20 years? I can't think of any. I could be incorrect. I can't think of any. They're making moves, but their moves are being made economically, and they're not forcing their way into countries. Okay? They're being invited into Africa. Ain't nobody, Chinese ain't threatening Africans or and saying, hey, we gonna send some drones over there to take out whoever. They not sending people from their banks. You know, I'm thinking about the confessions of an economic hitman. They not sending anybody from the World Bank to offer them some loans that is basically going to end up putting up their natural resources as collateral. And then, of course, it's probably going to be some balloon payments with some hidden interest rates in the fine print. And then next thing you know, they coming to collect forcefully. All right. China, Russia, North Korea ain't doing none of that. All right. And the United States, in my opinion, is what's preventing reconciliation between the people of Korea. Again, the Korean War actually was never ended. All right. They just came to what's known as an armistice because China was going to allow the United States to be stationed on its borders. And so they came in and helped the North Koreans push the United States below, I think it's the 54th parallel, so whatever that longitude is, you know, pushed them down, and then they've been at a stalemate ever since. If everybody else would just get out their way, I'm sure these family members could settle their differences and perhaps even unite as one. So I would say, you know, I would say that Washington does fear the North and South talking directly to each other without including the U.S. That's why the U.S. want to stick its nose in that conversation. All right. Let me see. Armenia heats up as the proxy war continues. This comes to you from tomlugo.me. Armenia is an important part of Russia's long-term plans. A member of the Eurasian Economic Union, Armenia is key to protecting Russia's southern flank. So I was not shocked back in 2016 when the disputed region of Nagorno-Karabakh was activated by the U.S. after a brief visit by then Secretary of State John Kerry as punishment for whatever. I can't read the rest. You can read the rest. The links are there for you at btrcommunity.com. Again, is Russia putting missiles and tank battalions or troops in Canada? Are they putting them in Mexico? Are they stationing them in Cuba? No, they're not. So again, I say, who is the aggressor on the world stage? I think the evidence would say that I'm correct in pointing to USA Inc. Let me see. Netanyahu to reopen detention centers for quote-unquote refugees as deportation plan fails. So for people who don't really study Israel and know what kind of government it has a fascist, apartheid, racist government, okay? And if you are not an Ashkenazi Jew, if you are non-white, regardless if you are a Jew or not, and if you are a Palestinian, then you belong to the oppressed group. You're going to get mistreated by these Ashkenazi Jews that run Israel right now. And so under international law and agreements that Israel has signed, since, you know, the story is they were refugees. That's how it got founded, stealing Palestinian land. The United Kingdom gave land that didn't belong to them to establish this nation, and the U.S. played a big role in that. A black person even got a Nobel Peace Prize to help them do it. But anyway, they're supposed to be a nation of refugees fleeing persecution in Europe. So anyway, they signed this treaty where they're supposed to give refuge to refugees, and they're not doing it. And I have actually reported on Netanyahu comparing Africans to terrorists and then saying stuff like, how can we have a Jewish state? And what he really was saying was a white Jewish state. And then we got all these Africans infiltrating the country and this, that, and the other. So that's your tax dollars. Israel's also a welfare state, as they receive the largest welfare check that the United States hands out. So we're at the half hour mark. I'm going to leave it there. There's many more articles that you can check out by going to btrcommunity.com and looking for Dave W. Tando Radio Show's profile. All right, let me take a look at the switchboard, and we are going to turn it over to Brother Davis. Brother Davis, do I have you on the line?
Good evening, my brothers. Good evening, brothers and sisters, and I thank you for being able to accompany me for another Wise Wednesday. I really hope that you're prepared tonight, because literally every week I try to bring you something that is contextual to what is going on in the world or that you can apply to your life. Now, the reason why I chose this course of action is because I believe that as we begin to examine ourselves closer, that we'll begin to understand that there's a greater dimension that we have yet to evolve to as beings on this earth. So, tonight's show is going to be about emotion. It's interesting because a lot of people think they already know what it is, but in most cases, you may know what it is, but you may not know what it is. You see, there's only really six emotions. There's happiness, excitement, there's scared or fear, anger, sadness, and tenderness. Those are the six basic foundations of emotions. And you know what's interesting about that is that a lot of times people get upset because they think, oh, well, isn't this an emotion? No. No. So let me bring some clarity. Emotions are very complex. According to some theories, there are states of feelings that result from the physical or a psychological change that influences our behavior. The psychology of emotions is closely linked to the arousal of the nervous system in various states of strength and arousal related, meaning apparently to a particular emotion. Okay, so joy is a part of happy. Okay, so everybody looks at different aspects of what a principal emotion is as being an emotion, what it is not. Perfect example. Hold on to your seats. What is the emotion of love? Everybody thinks it's an emotion. But you know what? In reality, love is not emotion. Love isn't an emotion at all. Let me be very clear. Love certainly feels like an emotion. An incredible strong pull. But in scientific communities, the conservative definition of the emotion is a facial expression. Happiness, sadness, disgust, anger, blah, 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 like I said. These and other basic emotions can be seen on the face. love is in its motion. And the reason why I'm trying to bring this to your attention is because Westernism teaches you that love is an emotion. But in reality, there is an entirely different concept when it comes to love. Okay? Love certainly feels like an emotion, an incredible, strong pull. But in the scientific community, conservative definition of the emotion is the facial expression. Happiness, sadness, as I went on and said earlier. These and other basic emotions can be seen, especially on the face, but drivers are not linked to a specific facial expression. A drive focuses our behavior on a goal, and it lasts until the goal is fulfilled. Hunger is a classic example. When you're hungry, the goal is food. You remain hungry until you get food. You can be hungry for hours, days, even weeks in extreme circumstances. You will likely go through a wide spectrum of emotions as you attempt to find food to eat to resolve your problem. You may feel anger or dismay when you attempt to procure food, or the complexity of what it is that you must go through to get food, and to that point on which you finally eat. Like hunger, love is a driver. Other persons become the goal of our life. And you may go through many of these emotions as you focus on winning him or her over. We tend to identify love most often as with euphoria. But that is hardly one or the only emotion we feel. Ecstasy, compassion, surprise, anxiety, anger, jealousy, despair. We swing like a kite from a high level, attached to a cord that is tied to another by passion. Interesting, huh? You see, we were taught in Westernism that love is an emotion when it actually is not. And the reality is that people, these things are triggered outside of you in most cases. Not all cases. Let me be very clear about that, because when people come back and say, well, you know, I felt this because of that tear. That's true. But in reality, love is not an emotion. It's an attribute of a passion. And a passion stems from a feeling. Love, that we should learn, have learned by now, is an action. A person can tell you they love you, but if they don't show you, all they're doing is giving you words. But if a person is showing you love, then literally they don't have to say, they don't have to use words. Perfect example is parents. They go out and they work every day, they come home, they take care of the house, they bring up their kids. They are showing love to action. If they never say, I love you, that would not be the motivator to get that child to love them back, because they would see through what the parent provides their acts of love on a daily basis. Now, I'm hoping that gives you some clarity, because I see all the time, well, not as much as anymore, but in young ladies who are entering their prime, and they begin to really start to see themselves turning into young women, and they're attracting the opposite sex, and they're looking for something that opposite sex can offer them, and they think it lies in words, and it does not. And many have been victimized by the fact that these men would use the word love in the theory, should I say, as an adjective, okay, to get what they want. And the sad part about it is that once they get what they want, the attribute of what love represents is no longer the principle, and they move on. And this person is in a state of confusion because of what they perceive love to be and what they see happening. So we have to identify the fact that love is not an emotion. Love is an action. It is an attribute of passion, but it's not an emotion. we're moving into a stage now where our emotions literally can get out of control. Why? Because we have not learned the principle of being truly understanding of our bodies. And Westernism wants that. Why do they want that? Because when your body's out of control, you're out of control. Remember I told you about how they can interpret you by labeling you. And they've always called you emotional. So therefore, when they say, I feared for my life, they're judging from the aspect of their interpretation of your emotional reaction. They could be. They couldn't be further from the truth. And you see, the sad part about it is, a lot of us fail to realize the importance of control. Okay, so let me help you a little bit here. Okay. Also, emotion is a vehicle for communicating with the physical world. All emotions and desires are stimulated by information streaming in from the external world. Gratifying desire, emotional drive, then is on external, which is evolving. Okay, what does that mean? That means that something that may have a stimulated emotional drive may be evolving. So at that point, what you felt may have been, you may have misinterpreted. So therefore, you're in a state, and then you begin to realize, it's not what I thought. It's not what I expected, okay? Gratifying desire and emotional drive depends upon the individual. Happiness to people at a stage of growth then is the gratification of emotion and desires which are dependent on achieving or manipulating external feeling. Okay, getting a job or having a good life, indulging in cravings for food, sex. All emotions and desires are in reality a state of tension and disequilibrium of the energies in the body. Again, let me repeat that. It says all emotions and desires are in reality states of tension and disequilibrium of the energies in the body. All responses to our emotion and desires are attempts to resolve the tension that they represent. So when you go through an emotion, you have a physical reaction, okay? And this physical reaction may not be noticed by you immediately because you're experiencing the emotion and not realizing that you have surrendered control to that emotion in that point. Unevolved men strive to return to these energies to their original state of balance and serenity by gratifying the external stimuli that activated them. Okay? So what does that mean? That means that when you begin to realize that there are things happening to your body that was brought on by this emotion that you're beginning to react to. Okay, now, a perfect example. I talked to you earlier about young ladies who with their perception of what a person is telling them when they say, I love you, means they want to be with them or to share something that they have for a lifetime. This is their perception. Okay? Now, do they discuss this openly? In most cases, they do not. But this is the deception that Westernism propagates. So therefore, they can become victimized by it because of the propagation of Westernism. But just think, if that young lady would say to that young man, if you love me, show me. Don't demand of me. That brings into play an entirely different connotation. You know why? Because now that word has to become action. And you see, what's so important about that is that then she begins to perceive the sincerity of what he says. Okay? Realizing that spirit energy can be attained through equilibrium and serenity by the being levelly and understandingly controlling their primordial level, meaning that you begin to realize that this is having a physical reaction on you, okay? You may start to get tense. You may start breathing in a shallow manner. Okay, these are all attributes of different emotions. And the reason why we have to identify them is because we really actually have control. But we're surrendering to emotion because we're not realizing that the emotions are being reacting on our body in a physical way. This is true happiness, the value that reality can be appreciated when we recall our mind to the individual who, in spite of having acquired great transition in the physical body, can take over and calm it. Now, what does that mean? That means that, say you're excited, all right, and you know how you get excited and you get hyper and your body's all into it. Well, that's really an unequal spot for you to be in. And, you know, perfect example is your young ladies. They're in an unequal spot, so they would make a decision based on what they're told and not the action that should be required. So therefore, they make a decision with a contemplation that Westernism is going to bear witness. What does that mean? That when they say, I love you, and if you love me, you'll do this for me, they're doing this with an expectation of you, but you are not doing the same in reverse. Because if you were doing the same in reverse, you could very easily say, you know what, I really feel you, but I believe I have to see it rather than hear it. Because it changes the dynamic. And the reason why we need to change the dynamic is because we're taking control. That's like when you get excited and the emotion kicks in and your body starts to get hyped and you start feeling that euphoria, and that euphoria starts to really move your mind thought, your brain waves into the area of your desire, when in reality you know that you need to take control, because sometimes you make decisions in an emotional state that you would not make in a state in which you were in control. So we have to be able to understand the importance of not just our emotions, but what to do in those states. Because in every emotional state, there's a beginning and there's an end. But between those two is where you literally are beginning to lose the equilibrium of control that you ordinarily would have. My brothers and sisters, in my research, I'm finding that we, as a people, have been deceived on many levels. And this is just one of the many levels that we've been deceived to believe something that is not true. And when you think about it, any emotional state that you get into comes with a physical change in your body. And see, that physical change in your body, it basically is induced in most cases by something external. Not internal, but external. So say you have a family member that's been away for a long time, and you see them from that moment that you see them. You get excited and you embrace, and you're glad to see. That there's a physical dynamic that's taking place there. Okay? Now, there's going to be a point in which you begin to gather yourself, and you begin to control the physical dynamic, and you begin to converse and realize that it may not be as it appears to be. So therefore, now you're in a position to make a more balanced decision in reference to what your expectations are of your decision, meaning that you are now thinking in a mindset that makes you the priority and not the circumstance. Because circumstances change, just like emotions. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday, and I know sometimes I get caught up in these things and trying to give you a genuine conveyance of how this will appear in your own physical being, but your level of control over your body is your responsibility. And I can't emphasize that enough, because we are victimized because we are allowing other people to literally control us by us reacting. And that is why they've learned to tap into our emotional state so that they can interpret our emotional state. And the sad part about it is that most of us as people don't want to identify that, because Westernism doesn't teach that. But it will tell you you're emotional. How many times have you heard, oh, black people are very emotional? Well, that's a defense mechanism they're putting in place before they need it. Let me repeat that. That's a defense mechanism that they're putting in place before they need it. Because in every case, there is an anatomical nerve system that is taking place in your body that, if you don't take control, can be interpreted by someone else. And y'all seen it. You know, somebody walk up to you, especially somebody white that you don't know, walk up to you and say the N-word, automatically your body's starting to go through a transition. And it's initiated by something outside of you. And this is your autotonic nervous system. Why? Because we haven't been taught to control that. We haven't been taught to look at that person and say, oh, that's enough, to keep right on moving. We have been taught that we are emotional people. And instead of just looking at this person like they're the nut they projected themselves to be, many of us move that to the level of confrontation because it's an emotional reaction. It is very important that we begin to understand how we can take control of our lives and literally live a more, should I say, serene life, because now we can control the very things that they use to interpret against us. This is Brother Davis on the Wise Wednesday, and I'm hoping that you're beginning to piece all of this together, because literally these are attributes of the staircase of our human being or our human nature. And these are the very things that they're using against us when they don't go to their prefabbed laws. You know, prefab laws are laws they created for your circumstance. And you see that very prevalent when these people go to court behind their own negligence, and the system is designed for them to be excused from their negligence, regardless of what that cost may be. And then what happens? There's an emotional eruption. And they know that. They're prepared for that in most cases. So as soon as they do what they want to do, they move people out so that they're out of the immediate area of danger, but they also move people in case that emotion becomes so overpowering that they can exercise another form of their prefab laws. Sadly enough, when we begin to attack the very thing that they're using against us, we take control of our lives. Why do we take control of our lives? Because we're not being what they say that we are. And a lot of times in this day and age where cameras are everywhere, we should always assume that we're on camera. Because when you react in an emotional way, if there's no camera around, then you get that person to interpret whatever he sees. And in most cases, the system are going to go in the line of thought with that person who has the so-called authority in that situation. The sad part about it is that those people may not be exercising authority. They may be exercising a bias. And if they're exercising a bias, they can actually use it under the very authority that they will use against you to prove a point that is mute. What is a point that is mute? When you're looking at a video, and you can clearly see what's going on in the video, but yet they tell you what you see isn't what's happening, that makes your point mute in their system. And we have to learn these, because these are their tools. And if we learn how to use their tools, we can take that away from them. Okay? Now, a lot of times, it's going to require us to go to a deeper level of self. That's why you always hear me talk about the importance of self because when we can control self, we're actually taking control of circumstance. And until we can control self, we give them control of circumstance. And the sad part about it is whenever they have control of circumstance, it's never going to work out well for us. Never. The sad part about it, we can take control of the circumstance and be acting according to be able so that there would be no misinterpretation, and we can still be victimized. Because the system that they have in place is designed for them to make it appear the way they want it to appear. And understand how I said that. To make it appear the way they want it to appear. So you see now all this DNA coming out where people are getting out of jail. Well, those people went to jail based on the circumstance that they created in the system about that person. And then when it comes out that now there's a scientific way to prove it, and all of a sudden they come to the realization that they were wrong, a lot of times all they do is say, "I'm sorry," when that is inadequate. But the system is designed around them attaining what it is they want, whether it's right or wrong. This is why it's so important for us to understand emotion and where we are with it, and do we have control of it, or are we letting them control it? Because when you let them control it, it never works out well for you. It never works out well for anybody that literally is going against the very system that is in place now. Now, I say that in the manner that it's definitely changing. It is. I mean, when you look at what's happening in the world today, this we're watching the crumbling of a system of tyranny. And it's going out, but it's going out in the most destructive way. We should have expected that. Why? Because it was destruction that kept it in place. So therefore, they're playing on the fact that we are not prepared for what is about to happen for those people who have already been geared up to know or have some idea of what they're going to do. In most cases, they do not believe the largest number of people in this system is prepared for what is about to happen. So we should be actually moving to another level of self-reliance. And that's why it's so important that we understand what our self-truth is, so that we can put our defenses in place to best suit us. We must make ourselves the priority. But yet, a lot of us, we do not understand the importance of that. That's why we have Black Talk Radio. That's why we have Tandem Radio. That's why we have Black Abolition. That's why we have Black Rose, Black Business. All these here things, these are tools of self-awareness. Now, if we are tapping into them, we should be fortifying ourselves in a multiplicity of ways, thanks to Black Talk Radio. This is Brother Davis from the Wise Ones. Look, we're coming up on a break. I'm about to take you into another level of understanding how society's principles and our emotional state literally is going to work against us if we do not take control. But us taking control is not beyond the truth. And the truth is, this is possible. And if you believe it's possible, all you got to do is operate on you. You don't have to look for someone else. That's what makes the possible for you to be self-reliant based on your self-truth and the priorities that you have in place for you. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. Look, we're coming up on a break. God, please, let's make this a dialogue instead of a monologue. Get by your phones. Call me up. Ask me some questions. I got a plethora of information here, and I want to give it to you because these become tools for us to be able to operate in the next level of living. This is Brother Davis on the Wise Wednesday, and we'll be right back.
Make Black Talk Radio your choice for digital black radio.
New Black Media for the New Millennium.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. It's interesting to note that while Western man identifies his emotion as the expression of his self, in tradition, emotions are really a greater attribute that are identified with the animal part of our being. The latter is a contempt or upmost in the understanding of people through the widespread symbolizations of humans, the nature, and the animal aspect. Now, why do I say that? Because literally, animals react by instinct, okay? You scare an animal, it wants to identify you first, okay? Humans, literally as an emotion, when you scare them, they take off. I mean, you know, I've been walking down the street, all of a sudden, a bunch of people are running. So all of a sudden, you start running. See, that's an emotional reaction for a situation which you really can't identify. And then when you're stopped, and they say, what you running for? Well, I don't know, everybody was running. You see, we have to take control of those sort of things. I'm not saying that you have to stop and see why to run. I'm saying that you must make yourself the priority to get to a situation in which you can evaluate. Whether you go hide and duck somewhere, and you must be able to evaluate what is best and suited for you, because you might be more suited to run the other direction because you don't know what's going on anyway. So this is why evaluation of what our emotions are so key and important. There are always triggers involved in emotion, something that triggers that emotion. Remember I told you about the person, the dreams, you know, the long time they come. All of a sudden, that emotion is triggered. I've ever told you about the girl and the guy, the young people. You know, he's talking about love and how he loves her, and that other, that's triggered. You see, there's always something outside of you that wants to trigger an emotion, whether it's to your advantage or not. So, literally, we could take control of these things by identifying our physical bodies first. What is happening? Okay? You go to work one day and they call you in the office and they say, look, we got a bonus here for you. We're like, yeah, this bonus. And you get excited. Okay, I'm getting extra money. And then they turn around and say, but you got to sign this paper. And you say, okay, what's that for? The dynamic has changed now. So that's what emotions are so, they move in such a non-descriptive way. And see, we have to be suspicious because literally our history has taught us that we become the victims in most circumstances more so than the people who are victimizing us. So, my intent is to help you identify what the triggers are so that we can be able to take control. Well, last night, Brother Dave's show was on weaponry. Excellent show. The content, information, there's certain books you can't buy and get all that information in a shorter period of time. But we also have to understand with that dynamic is an emotional connection. And in that emotional connection, we have to look out for what is best for the family in that circumstance. And he hit on a little bit of that, but the reason why I wanted to come back to it is because we have to understand that the authority must always be the person who is opening the door. Meaning, what do you mean? What do I mean? The person who is bringing the weapon in the house, the person who is exposing it to their family in some manner, okay? So, literally, they have to have enough insight to, one, keep it in a secure place, two, inform those people who need to know about it and where it's at, and three, to give them some sort of training so that they know what to do if they have to use it. Basic. Okay? But how does that fall in the line when it's an emotional circumstance? You see what I'm saying? Because a lot of times, an emotional circumstance adds enough physical change to the dynamic for it to go awry. That's why it's so important for us to have a basis of taking control back. When we see that the elevation of the body is changing, the heart is starting to beat a little more, the tension is starting to rise up, and that might be something that you may think is going on, not going on, but that may be something that's actually going on. Okay, perfect example. Say you're in the home alone, you're the mother of the house, and you hear something outside. No one's home. Now, is it your first reaction to go get this gun? Or is it your first reaction to turn on all the lights outside first? These are very simple questions. But put in that situation, you have to make decisions based on the content of knowledge that you have. And see, a lot of times, people don't even think in terms of if something's going on outside the house. They're thinking in terms of what's going on inside the house. And the sad part about it is that we should always try to be able to contain whatever it is that the danger is on the outside. Try to keep it on the outside. If we can keep it on the outside, we may be able to keep it at bay until we can make a phone call to bring help to us. Because, see, really, whenever you pick up a weapon, you step into the dual nature of decision. And if you are physically affected by your emotion, and this has happened many a times, and all of a sudden you react and this weapon goes off, you may end up doing something that you seriously regret. And see, this is why we must always be able to evaluate ourselves physically so that we can make our list of priorities in that circumstance. Now, I know a lot of you are saying to yourself, well, I don't know if I could do that, but you can. Because think about it. If you learn how to use the weapon, you know what a safety mechanism is. You know how to put a round in the chamber. You see, so all these here are basic things that literally, even in a stressful situation, once you get your equilibrium back, once you recover your emotional state back to your priority of thinking, you become more functional for yourself and your circumstance. But I've seen people who literally know how to use weapons. Their fear is so powerful on them that when they pull it out, they don't pull it out with a firm grip, and it just slips right out their hand. Changes the whole dynamic of a circumstance. Because now, they no longer have control of that weapon. You see what I'm saying? So it's so important that we understand a basic priority. When you are in a situation, and you go all of a sudden, you hear that something on the porch, you don't actually know what it is, okay? So literally you're starting to look in a manner which is unusual. See, you might even have a routine that when something happens outside, that you turn off all the lights inside. See, the dynamic of your thought process is going to make all the difference in the world, but you must first control the physical transition that the emotion has placed upon you. And in order to do that, you must identify it. You heard me speak about the church shooting in Charleston and how the fear was so overpowering to these people that they just sat and wait for their turn to be shot. They had no priority of instinct in that circumstance. Their emotion was stuck on fear. This is why it is so important, to be able to identify the physical change that your body is in and then make the decision to bring that control back to you, so that you can think in reference to your best interest. Because, see, if those people in that church had that ability that day, When that first shot went off, everybody should have had a reaction. Everybody. When they seen the gun, everybody should have had a reaction. Even if it wasn't the same. But they would have been thinking in terms of the priority of self, which would have cut down on the danger that that person was able to inflict. So, it is important that we understand emotion. That we understand that when emotion is being triggered, there's going to be a physical change. Even if you don't understand at the point where it's triggered, you should be able to identify your body changes, the tension, the heart, the nervousness. You should be able to identify these things. Go straight into a breathing aspect. You're starting to breathe deep. And as you start to breathe deep, you start regrouping on everything right now, okay? Let me focus on me. What next? And then as you exhale, your thought process and that exhale should be able to put your priorities in position. Okay, something's going on outside. Let me turn off all the lights inside so they can't see what's going on inside. Then let me go and grab my weapon. That way I can hold my weapon on my side and I can see out. Okay? At that point, you might even want to turn on all the exterior lights because now that the inside lights are out, they can't see inside. Now you're inside the house, the lights are out, everything's lit up outside, and you have your weapon in your hand or on your person in a position of control. This is the minute area where your thoughts now become totally based on your survival. Because now you're looking where you can, you're listening when you can, you're being as quiet as you can. If you got children, you're putting your children all in one spot. It might be in a closet, might be in a bathroom. I would suggest to be in a room where there's no way that they can see in, and tell them to be absolutely quiet. Remember, I used to tell you I played the quiet game with my grandchildren and my children all through their lives. The quiet game was to see who could be quiet the longest. And at that time, I would give them a little something. Maybe go to the store, get them a bag of chips or some other favorite candy or fruit, whatever. But I would get that to them so that they would know this was a reward for being quiet the longest. That may come into play. And this is why all of these things now that we're talking about literally have to be a part. When you look at what is coming down the line, it has to be a part of what you're preparing for. And here's the best part. You may find through evaluation and analyzation of the circumstance that what you heard might have been an animal. It might have been the wind that threw a branch off the tree that's bumping the side of the house. You never know. But it's best to be cautious enough on focusing on your safety than it is to be victimized by someone knocking the door on the door or knocking down that door and you not be prepared. Emotion is such a dangerous element when you do not control your process, your contribution in that circumstance. And here's the best part. When you do, you become empowered because now you know you can. See, a lot of people, when they get emotional, they react. And before you know it, they victimize themselves because they didn't realize what the limitations they're working with, but yet they still have power in those limitations. And we must always understand that whenever we let ourselves be subdued by emotion, we give away that power. We do it every day. Westernism teaches us to give away our power. Well, now let me be very clear about this, because we talked about this before. When you look at that TV every day, and you look at those fast foods, and all of a sudden, you're out there in that day, and you're hungry, you know darn well you don't want to eat that food. But you're hungry. You got the resources on to be able to, before you know it, you're buying it, and it's taking away the hunger, and it's literally giving you taste, but it's giving you no nutrition, and you know it. So you didn't prepare for it, so you become victimized by it. You're talking to somebody who does this every day. When I'm out here, I try to take myself some trail mix or some dried fruit or some fresh fruit and water. I try to carry that with me because I know that I can be caught in a situation where I don't want to be in, okay? I was, as a matter of fact, it happened to me the other day. I was at a farmer's market. You know how that fish fries in the farmer's market? It was smelling good. Well, instead of me going there and saying, well, let me get some of that fish, what I did was I went on ahead and got me a vegetable wrap. And with that vegetable wrap, I took out my, I got a little sauce. That's my wife has a Spanish sauce. I mean, spice. And I put that Spanish spice on there and made it taste even better. But it's a little preparation. I still had a little bit of, I think I had some nuts with me that day and a bottle holder. You see, I carry the nuts in the bottle of water because all I need is something to take the edge off my appetite until I'm in a position to consume what it is that I want to consume and not what it is that the circumstances forces upon me. This is the same thing in the emotional process. You see, I'm holding off this emotional transition because I'm identifying the physical changes in my body that allows me to realize that I have to get control over that before I can really move my body in the thought process to make me the priority. And you're going to find this here in every situation. You've seen that red light come on in the car when you're in the car. And all of a sudden your emotions change. What if they know that? And we have to control our emotions because when that officer comes to the car, he's going to look at you like you're a criminal. And all you're doing is driving down the road. You may not have any intent on having any confrontation with this officer, but he's determined on that by the way he approaches you. And you know it's really a catch-22, because I don't know where you live, but these officers now, they get out in twos. They got one who stands behind the car and one approaches the car. So literally, that makes you feel like a victim right away. So you have to have a routine. Now, here's my routine. Now, everybody has their own. But when I'm being pulled over, I put my wallet on the dashboard and I put my hands on the wheel. Then when he comes over, that hand is closest to the window where he can see. I hit the button so the window can go down. Can I help you, officer? It changes the dynamic. Now, it doesn't make a difference what you do in this day and age, because we've seen people do all the right things and still be victimized. But when you have a set plan, it works to your advantage more so than not having a set plan. Okay? Because you might say, what can I do for you, officer? And he look at you and say, well, nigga, I'm just going to pull your ass over. The sad part about it is that's not beyond the realm of possibility. You see, they can trigger an emotional reaction from you. They get a right to interpret it. Understand, your focus should be on you going beyond the circumstance. So when you feel that anger, that physical emotion, you got to start focusing on you. You just take a slow, deep breath. You turn to the officer and say, excuse me, did we get off on the wrong foot? Change the dynamic to your advantage. Because even if he's still in that racist mood, you have to make sure that this works well for you. Never, never, never give them the power that they programmed you to give them. Because when you do, you set yourself up. It's one thing to be victimized. And I'm going to tell you, I've seen it. You know, y'all know the brother that, what was his name? I can't even think of it right offhand. The officer pulled him over behind some kind of tail light or something. He said, you have any ID? The brother clearly stated, officer, I have a weapon, I have a permit to carry. The officer shot him. Sadness. And the sad part about it is that this officer literally walked away from that crime, a murder. But these are the times in which we live. This is why it's so important that you understand certain things when it comes to emotion. Because your emotion, applied right, can work to your advantage, but applied wrong, it will victimize you. Emotion. Can I help you, officer? Because I'm subduing him now with the conversation so that he can feel at least comfortable enough to convey to me the purpose behind it. And even if he has a negative reaction that I had discussed with you earlier, when I came back, my comment was to get us back on track. I'm sorry, did we get off the wrong foot? See, it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with my priorities, my thought process, my not letting him or them take the control that I have right to take ownership of. We are no longer the docile, slave-minded black people of the early 1900s, the late 1800s. You see, I shouldn't really say that because, see, a lot of the rebellions that these black people were putting up were never even brought to the public's attention. Know why? Because they didn't want other people to have the same mindset. So therefore, we might have heard of a few things, but there was thousands of things going on. And just like today, there's a thousand things going on. Anytime we do anything, we cannot be surprised when we hear that somebody was confronted by somebody in law enforcement who was totally wrong or totally out of order, didn't do their job correctly, victimized the person that they were dealing with, and walked away with it. The system of destruction that is in place is being dismantled. It will not be overnight. And the reason why it's being dismantled is because literally it is the time. Everything runs a course of time. And that's why it's so important for us to be able to identify that. It's like emotion, it runs a course of time. Now, and some of you may not believe this, but I'm going to make this blanket statement. I would say in the next 30 to 50 years, there will be no more wars. Why? Because the weaponry has become so destructive. Wars can alter life on this planet as we know it. And they're beginning to see that now because of the mistakes that they've made, i.e. Fukushima. They're beginning to see that. And they want you to think of so-called artificial intelligence as being the do-all to save-all. It is not. Every civilization rises and falls. And we are witnessing the beginning of the fall. And here's what's so unique about that, is that even at the end of civilization, not everybody dies. Because when one people ends, somehow this planet manages, like plants, to literally have another cycle kick in. So we have to prepare ourselves. We have to prepare our children. I mean, we need to really right now be pulling our children aside and teaching them not only about the history of black people in America, but free American history. Not only taking them to church, but teaching them what is the principles that we live by before religion. Because a lot of black, our children, they have no idea that we as a people existed prior to religion. So we have to open these doors and have these conversations. And I know some people say, well, you know, we think that it's one thing and they think another. That's true. But it doesn't change the dynamic. And what is the dynamic? The facts. That's the dynamic. The facts is there was a world here before religion. There was a world here before wars. And that world literally existed for thousands of years. So we should be conveying this here because our children need to know that they're not the labels that are put on them. throat. That's what I try to do. When I put my time in them, I try to do that. Matter of fact, I'm planning something this weekend with my granddaughters, me and my wife. And they said, well, what are we going to do while we drive? Because I think it's going to be about a 45 minutes to an hour drive. So I got this here book on women heroines. All about black women who've been successful in one manner or another. And this will be our topic of conversation, and this is what we'll read. And we'll openly discuss this because I have to get them the understanding that they are greater than the label that they're put upon them. And these people who literally lived in a circumstance similar to it were able to rise above it, and so can you. All you have to do is apply the tools. And when they apply the tools and begin to see that self-discovery, which is what we're talking about, when they begin to see that self-discovery, they will ultimately evolve. Just like tonight. We talked about emotion. You will ultimately evolve because then you're going to start to identify that physical change that comes upon you when you become emotional, regardless of what the state is. It may be the euphoria of joy, but you're going to feel it because you know about it now. It may be the sorrow or sadness, but you're going to feel it because you know about it now. And the reason why you're going to feel it is because now you have been given the ability to be able to change the physical dynamic. Remember what I said? Take your time and breathe easy so that you can recollect your thoughts, so that you can actually slow your heartbeat. All of these here things come into play. Your body gets tense. All of these things come into play. But when you identify them, you can control them. And when you take control, you're not only being a blessing to yourself, you're going to be a blessing to everybody you shared that experience with, because now they're going to think, I can do that in a given circumstance. We change by example. You see, we don't have to be that example for us. Okay? Meaning that we can study something, and through reading about it and studying, we can apply that method in a circumstance that is similar that we're in. And then when we experience that we can literally handle that, we grow. And as we begin to grow, we can literally share that testimony. Well, this is what happened when I was in this situation, and this is what I did. And then when I began to really feel my control coming back, I was able to think after my best interest and prioritize my thought process of what I'm going to do next. And it works. That's the main thing. It works. Because in reality, the mistake you make may cost you your life. And this is why we must have the conversation about emotions, so that we do not have to pay the ultimate cost based on the euphoria of the emotional state that we're in. This is Brother Davis on A Wise Wednesday. Now, I'm seriously seeking to have a dialogue. So listen, we're going to break. We're coming into the last segment of the show. Please, pick up your phones. Add to the content of the show. If you don't think what I was seeking about, what I spoke about, is true, bring your point of view across. State why. I had a lady the other day say, when I said to her, well, you know, emotions, love is not an emotion, she got offended. But you know how she reacted? She just laughed. Because she didn't have an argument. So when she looked at me and said, what makes you say that? I explained it to her the same thing I explained to you about the young people. How words reflect back onto the Western education that they were given. But yet actions literally reflect the truth of the circumstance. And she just looked at me because, you know what? I believe she could identify being at that point in her life at one time. So we never know how what we say or what we do is going to affect other people. So we really want them to benefit by it, or we want to benefit from the experience. Then it's a win-win. This is Brother Davis on A Wise Wednesday. We're coming up on the last segment. And listen, I do want a dialogue. And I'm going to tell you, a dialogue is necessary for those people who have a question but are not in a position to call or who may feel intimidated by the topic. But either way it goes, if you allow me to, give me a call and we can converse and literally make this a dialogue instead of a monologue. This is Brother Davis on A Wise Wednesday, and we will be right back. Is it break too early, or Scotty? Okay, well, maybe we're going to go through the break. I don't know. But listen, if Scotty comes in and we do go through a break, do not be surprised. I also want to put in some things, some triggers. I want you to understand that emotions don't just happen, okay? And when you get these triggers, literally, that should help you identify how to detect an emotional trigger and what to do about them. Because a lot of times, our awareness literally goes out the window. All right? Everything that you want to do, everything that you want to be, starts at that point when you begin to identify what your position of interest are, what your priorities are. You see, we have so many things nowadays that victimize us, from addictions to behavior to environment to just take toxins in the atmosphere. You didn't put them there, but yet we have to learn about these things, because this acquires us the ability to be able to live under diverse circumstances. This is what all of this is about. Being able to keep your emotions in check in diverse circumstances. Being able to react to your best interests in diverse circumstances. Because I'm going to tell you, we can't have an ongoing cycle for years and deal with things the way we have been dealing with them. Because literally, it's given us a lot of emotional pain. It's affected our psyche to such a level now where literally we have to take control. Reacting has not worked for us. So we cannot be reacting. We must be proactive. So when you see those things that you think get going to cause... All right, we're going to go to break. We'll be right back. This is Brother Davis on A Wise Wednesday.
Radio since 2008, providing new black media for the masses.
Welcome back. Now, I'm giving you a few keys, and I'm hoping someone's on the telephone and going to give a call, but I've given you a few keys, so let me give you some reality of why I take that list of priorities, okay? Remember I told you to slow your breathing down when you feel that your body's going through these changes? Slow your breathing down. Now, why do I say that? All things vibrate, including the human spirit and the body, and each thing vibrates at a specific key. The vibrating mechanism of the human body is the breathing system. That is why I say that. Because, see, now, utilizing the breathing system you can start putting your thought process together to your advantage. People all have different concepts, but I always go back to the basics concept of our control. Perfect example. When we are seated in that rest, the spirit vibrates as we breathe, 18 waves per minute. Comparing to the cyclic value of the respiratory and the circulatory system that is in the solar system yields some of the very revealing facts. What are the revealing facts? That when you are in a relaxed state, you have total control and your body is actually operating on what they call an autotonic mode. Why? Because the system is designed to operate on a timing mechanism. I just spoke about that when I said the harmonics of the vibrating system is based on your breathing. We fail to realize that this is the common knowledge of knowing thyself. But through me giving you the understanding of emotional, physical changes, and giving you an idea of that thought process to be able to take control back, I'm actually informing you about your knowing more about yourself. Isn't it unique? Because, see, this is only one attribute. There are many attributes, just because your body has just so many different timing mechanisms, and there's so many different metaphysical values that your body is operating in simultaneously. What is a metaphysical value? That is something that's going on that you don't realize is going on, but you benefit by it. And the best part about it is that it's a part of your birthright having this physical body in this time-space experience. And the best part about that is that with this physical body, if you maintain it, it will last a good long time. You see, you've heard me speak about the importance of habit. Well, I only speak about that because literally the longer that you have this physical body, the greater control you can get over it. If there's someone in queue, and controlling the physical body is only another attribute of you knowing yourself, how you deal in the... Yes, please, address. Can you give us your name and where you're calling from?
Yes, there's somebody in queue.
Okay, sister, give us your name and where you're calling from.
Justice Lamb.
Yeah, where are you coming from, calling from, sister?
Hansford.
Okay, well, what is your question?
This is Justice Williams, your granddaughter.
Okay, daughter. So what is the question?
Well, she wanted to talk to you about her achievement that she had when she was in the third grade, but she was got really inspired by some of the stuff you were saying we've been listening.
Well, I am totally excited. I'm inspired to see you call it. So let her share with us. I mean, this is an opportunity. Let her share with us.
When I was in third grade, we had a president candidate, so we were in social science. We were learning about this situation too, about the presidents and everything. So I wanted to run for the student council, and there was 5 different people, and there were going to be 2 student councils in each class. So we each did a fair ballot and voted, and there was 2 people in charge of the box to see who got, so no one could see who got picked. And one of the people was me and my friend Mariah. And each week on Wednesdays, we went to the PTO meetings and we learned about everything that was going on in our school. And that's it.
And you won?
Oh, yeah, and I won the ballot.
And you're the first one of the people.
And we spoke in front of, the class to see who would. So everyone can know why you wanted to be student council.
And you did a campaign?
I should say.
But she was, she just wanted to let you know that, you know, she was a quiet, kind of reserved person. And when I asked her, you know, why did you run for student council? Because I thought it would seem a little different because she's very quiet. And she said that she just wanted to do something different, that, you know, to challenge herself. Remember we were talking about that?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I am impressed. Ladies and gentlemen, this is my second eldest granddaughter. And she's quite an intelligent young lady. This is one of the young ladies I told you we're going to, we have something planned for this weekend. Justice, I want you to add one more content. When you won, how did you feel?
I felt good, and I thought I would win, so it made me feel even better.
See, that's that emotion that we were talking about earlier, ladies and gentlemen. Anytime that emotion kicks in, there's always going to be an attribute, and it's always going to be physical first. And when you begin to identify that, which in her case was very positive, you begin to be able to take control, because if it's ever something different, you identify it. Justice, I want to thank you very much, my darling, for giving Pop Pop a call on the show. And I want you to know that anytime that you want to call me, you do call me, baby, because I enjoy your conversations.
Okay, thank you.
All right, now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to point out once again that even in a situation that is exhilarating, like the experience that she just shared with us about winning an office, she had to go through a transition of being able to rise and think in reference to her priorities. And in doing so, she put her plan together, she ran for an office, and she won. Now, can you imagine the growth that she achieved through that experience to be able to just call and share it with us? So I want you to understand, this is more than about you, or more than about me. Because, see, this is my grandchild. This is the example I'm trying to give her. And she thought enough of her circumstance to want to share it with us. So that was definitely a blessing. Definitely a blessing. I want to encourage anyone else, if you're on the phone or close to the phone and you want to give us a call and add to the show, please do. Now, I was speaking in reference to, and once again, I want to say thank you, Jess. I was speaking in reference to how our bodies go through a natural rhythm that we have that we could literally take control over and literally work to our advantage. Now, it gets even deeper than that, because there are levels of that harmonic vibration that's in your body that in different states of meditation, you can literally change the level. You could speed it up, you could slow it down, you could literally bring a state of silence on where your thoughts are no longer the focus. Why do I say that? Because you cannot concentrate on you and have the thoughts of the world intruding on your path, on your brainwave path. Because literally, when you move away from sound, when you add a low-key harmony, it allows you to become in sync with your natural body vibration. And when you become in sync with your natural body vibrations, you're growing. And as you become in sync with it, you begin to realize, you know what, I can go a little deeper, and I can slow it down a little more, and I can take a little more control. And this is about personal development. We all must understand the importance of knowing thyself, because it gives us a liberating euphoria, where we can literally go into a state of peace regardless of what's happening around us, because now we know how to get there. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people jump from program to program to program, and they're always into a state of what they call dullness. Why? Because it's all about what's going on around them, and it's not about them. When you make things about you, you think in terms of your priorities. And then you literally are functioning to the best interests of self. Then you open up your doors to truth, your true self. Your true self is that self that literally in every situation, you're going to be honest with what you think and feel. So, and to give you an example, because I think the examples are always good. If you're thirsty and you do not drink water or you don't do anything for your thirst, literally you're not being honest with your true self. Some people even go to the bar and say, oh, I don't need water. I don't know. I know people who will tell you they don't drink water on a regular basis. But your body is a plant. Water is a part of the natural process of how this body develops. And this is not new to anybody, but a lot of people try to think that they have a greater control, but really don't know. And what do I mean? They think they can control their body, but they don't really know how the body functions. It needs certain things. Just like a plant needs the sun, it needs the water, it needs nutrition. That's what the body needs, because we are plants on a different level, mind you. Let me be very clear about that. But we are plants. We live in cycles, such as plants. And we have the minute ability to be able to control and tap into those cycles. And as you begin to know yourself and you tap into those cycles and you start exercising control, you will start to experience something that is far beyond your Western education, because they don't want you to realize that. They don't want you to examine self on the level that you begin to expose yourself to your, should I say, your DNA birthright. You see, in our DNA, we're connected with the cosmos. So all of the, everything you see in the atmosphere gives us energy, gives us power. But we don't know how to tap into it in the manner in which we could utilize it on a daily basis. But that's happening. Remember I told you about the different time frames, right? Because remember, we're moving into the age of Aquarius. And what I told you about the age of Aquarius is we're becoming more exposed to the things that are going to open up that knowledge to us so that we can tap into it. And it's a necessity. Because with the damage that's being done to the earth today, who do you think is going to restore this? It's going to come down to those people who have the ability to tap into their higher self so that these things can be exposed to them and they can do the work that is needed. Such as the same thing with your emotion. You must understand the importance of being able to identify, do the work, and make the priority plan that is needed. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. We are all connected, and everything that you see that is living is a part of that connection. Do not sell yourself short, because when you sell yourself short, you cannot benefit from the internal communication that is taking place. Remember I talked to you about how food and fruit talks to you before you even taste it, how it sends a message to the aroma, it hits your nose, and you can smell it when the banana's reaching the peak, because the sugar is calling you to the essence of the aroma. These are all the tools that we can tap into on a such a greater level, but we must identify that there's a process for us to learn in order for us to truly benefit by all of this knowledge that's available to us. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. I always like to stop a little early because I guess preparation for the next show, The Abolitionist, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to be a great show tonight. I haven't talked to any of the hosts that are involved, but Scotty did mention that they have about 45 different issues or venues that they want to bring forth, and as many as they can get to is a very big plus, because some of that deals directly with us who are listening right now. So I encourage you to definitely take time, and if you can listen to parts of the show, I definitely do myself, because I'm always trying to grow to another level. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. I thank you for allowing me to come into your homes tonight. Remember, this is an act of love that I look forward to doing until the opportunity is no longer there for me. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. Thanks again. Thank you, Scotty, and everybody involved in the engineering and the aspect of it. And this is Brother Davis, and I'm out.
All right. Thank you, Brother Davis. Yes, coming up at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time, as every Wednesday night, will be New Abolitionist Radio. Max wants to focus on a lot of issues concerning the state that he lives in, South Carolina. People may not know about the tremendous loss of life that recently occurred in Lee Correctional Facility in South Carolina with 17 people injured. I'm not sure how many were killed. I just actually got a report during Tando radio show that several guards have been arrested for bringing in contraband. And it just reminded me of something Ron Paul, who was a fierce anti-drug war advocate, when he said, you know, what sense do it make to try to prohibit drugs on the street when you can't even keep them out of the prisons? So Max will be focusing a lot on information he has gathered over time on the situation in South Carolina. We should also be joined by a last second scheduled guest sometime during the program, a former victim of slavery who recently got out, who wants to come on and talk about a state bill that's coming up in South Carolina and a rally that they have planned for this Saturday. So those are some of the things we'll be discussing on New Abolitionist Radio. Thank you for tuning in to Tando Radio Show. Either myself or Brother Ross and Jenna will host tomorrow and Friday, but definitely we will have a program. So tune in tomorrow to Tando Radio Show at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. With that said, we are out. Again, New Abolitionist Radio coming up at the top of the hour.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.